The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Plus $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
Hello and welcome to SEO 101 on WMR.fm, episode number 483. This is Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, and my co-host is my company's senior SEO, Scott Vanak. Well, we had some big news this week. We're calling it non-SEO news, but it's so big, it's kind of SEO news. SEMrush, or SEMrush, or however you want to call it, one of our foremost tools in our industry, has bought Search Engine Land and its subsidiaries. So searchengineland.com, if you don't know about it, is one of the main, well, I'd say the main website about search engines and what's happening in the world. I'd say it's, I don't know, it's on par, maybe Search Engine Roundtable second. They're different sites in many ways. Yeah. But anyways, Search Engine Land's turned into quite the powerhouse over the years since 2006, I believe, when they launched. And which is hard to believe it's been that long. And with this purchase, they're essentially acquiring the overarching company called Third Door Media. Third Door Media owns SearchEngineLand.com, the Search Marketing Expo, or SMX, MarTech.org, and the MarTech Conference, as well as Digital Marketing Depot. This is so huge. I mean, we're all like, there's been lots of discussions out there amongst SEOs and on social about what their thoughts are about this handoff. I'm personally a bit conflicted. I don't love the idea of a tool owning something like this. Everyone's going to be very cautious about what kind of content is coming out. Barry Schwartz, has been the chief editor, or I forget his formal name, of Search Engine Land for many, many years. And apparently he's staying on. He says it made it worthwhile for him to stay. Hasn't given him any reason to leave, but he's on guard. You know, if he finds that it's not a good fit, he will leave. So I don't know what's going to happen here. I guess Search Engine Journal and other platforms might get a little more traffic from this because they still are somewhat unbiased, although they do have advertisers. So there's only so much a lack of bias, but it's interesting. We'll see how this shakes out. What are your thoughts on this transition, Scott?
Yeah, I do definitely wonder how that's going to play out with the bias, right? Like, you know, you read an article and usually you get references to all these different tools. Are all the tool references going to be just SEMrush now? Or is Ahrefs still going to be in there? You know, is Moz still going to be mentioned? Or are they going to, you know, cut that back? I hope not. I hope they, well, obviously, I hope that they stay unbiased, but how could you not? You know, at the same time, if I'd want to promote myself. So I don't know. That's hopefully it's still good. I guess we're going to find out, aren't we? If Barry leaves, then that's our cue that they're pushing SEMrush a bit too much in their content.
Yeah, who knows? I mean, the ever awesome and nice Lauren Baker might be quite excited about this. I still think he's the sole owner of Search Engine Journal. I'm not sure. Anyway, this could be good. Maybe Ahrefs is going to come knocking on his door now.
Yeah, no kidding, right? Well, I like what you said. I think it was yesterday or something that, now I know why we're paying so much for our SEMrush plan. They had to bank up some extra cash to make some acquisitions here. So,
well, it makes sense. We spent a fortune on it, and I can only imagine how many other agencies do as well at even higher rates. It's not cheap. It is a powerful platform, though, and I wouldn't spend it if it wasn't worth it.
Yeah, it's tough. Yeah, this acquisition annoys me a little bit, but Semrush is good. Like, it's our go-to. Not trying to say go use it and, you know, promote them, but I'm in there every single day.
Yeah. Well, you know, we had to choose. I got tired of paying for multiple platforms, so we decided this. You know, there's different deficiencies in every one of them, but let's just stick with the one that seems overarchingly the best, and that was Semrush. So we did, and I really looked back. There's a couple of times I've wanted a little more data on stuff, and we've looked at other ones, but mostly just through clients' accounts. We have clients who have accounts on Ahrefs or the other one's escaping me, but anyways, it's a good brand. They could have done worse, and congrats to all the partners there. I'm sure they're very happy. Well, at least I hope they are. I hope they did well.
Oh, I imagine so.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Next up on this non-SEO news, but it's still pretty important. What's up?
Yeah. So we don't talk about pay-per-click a lot for obvious reasons, not pay-per-click 101. And we did a little bit last week, and I'm going to a little bit more this week. Sorry, but I've got a couple things here that are probably worth mentioning. I know a lot of our listeners have pay-per-click accounts, so this first one kind of irritates me, but then less the more I think about it. So Google has announced an 11-year data retention policy. So Google Ads has announced an 11-year data retention policy. So if you're advertising, this is important. If you rely on analysis of your old data, you will want to act now and back up all your campaigns, especially anything historic, if you go back that far. If you use Google Ads, you have until November 13th to save that historical data, or you will lose it. My first gut reaction was, oh, it's like Google Analytics. They're just going to get rid of your data and then it's gone. But I started thinking, you know, two-year-old Google Analytics data is super valuable. Is 11-year-old Google Ads data valuable?
I don't think so. People. I think this is a dream, really. They didn't have to switch platforms and lose it all.
lose everything. I think for the vast majority of people, data that's 11 years old is kind of irrelevant. You're not going to reference that in making future decisions because everything's changed so much. It can't, you know, it's apples to oranges at this point. But yeah, if you are one of those people that has that old historical data and you want it for whatever reason, you've got to, you know, a few weeks anyways, you've got till November 13th to deal with that. So how to back it up the easiest way? I'm not sure. Not my expertise, but we have a link to Search Engine Land, and they link over to Google Ads, and you can find that info and make sure you back it all up.
Yeah, we do Google Ads at Stepforth. So I'm sure Nathan, our pay-per-click or PPC specialist, is definitely going to know more about this when needed. However, I really don't think anyone's going to care. 11 years is a long time. So I think it's a pretty sweet setup. Not a big deal. But next up here, Google Ads is to, there's lots of Google Ads stuff, but these are all fairly important. So we wanted to make sure we covered them. They're releasing new penalties for agencies and third parties that perhaps are breaking Google's policies, their third-party policies. Here's a quote from them. Activity by a third-party partner that demonstrates a disregard for compliance with Google Ads policies may result in a loss of privileges, removal from Google third-party programs such as Google Partners, and account suspension. We take violations of this policy very seriously and consider them egregious. If we find violations of this policy, we will suspend your Google Ads accounts upon detection and without prior warning, and you will not be allowed to advertise with us again. Unquote. There's a whole list of transparency requirements. This is easy for you to find. If you're already an advertiser, you're probably already aware of this, or they'd be notified. We were talking about this briefly and talking, you know, would they give you a chance to get back? I doubt it. I doubt if you get suspended and they see something going wrong, they will completely cut you off. So be very careful.
I kind of wonder if, so, you know, all of our client ads go through the, I don't even know what they call it anymore, but it used to be called, I think, the My Client Center or something like that. I think they've changed the name 7 times since I used to do pay-per-click. But it's like basically one portal where you can access all of the, your different Google Ads clients. I'm wondering if you screw up one of your clients, is it going to screw up all of your clients? You know what I mean? Like, is it just going to ban your access? Is it going to, or is it going to ban the end client and all of your end clients tied into your manager account? I don't know, but like we keep everything on the up and up. So like, I'm not worried about us, but if you are managing these accounts and your clients are linked within each other through your account, be careful. I can't even imagine if you got banned and all your clients got banned because of, like, I don't know how far reaching this would go, but it could be bad for some people if you're playing dirty, which is good, but
yeah, well, good and bad. It depends.
If you're legit playing dirty, it's good that the agency gets in trouble. Maybe not the end clients, but
true that. All right. So SEO news. This is something you discovered. This is kind of cool.
Yeah. So last week we were talking about how Google was stealing, well, I use the word stealing kind of loosely, recipes and posting the full recipe within a sort of a limited test within search results, which is great because you don't get all the blogger content that, and not great depending on who you are. Well, it turns out Bing has actually been doing this for a while. I don't know when they started, but it's not even a test. It's just full on live. So I actually did a quick search to test it. I searched for turkey recipes because we're coming out of Canadian Thanksgiving and I know how to cook a turkey, but let's search turkey recipes. In the results, I got a full carousel with 12 steps on how to cook a turkey. You could scroll through everything you need to know. And I don't recall seeing a reference to where that recipe came from, although it might've been there. I'll admit, I don't remember, but, a few days ago as well, Inspired Taste. I'm not actually sure who Inspired Taste is, but they were referenced in the Search Engine Roundtable article. They were calling Bing out for showing their entire tahini recipe and calling it outright theft, which, I think they're not entirely wrong, but
I don't envy them. You know, I really don't. It's a tough situation for anyone, frankly, with content that is their own and they don't want it poached, but they have to show it in order to get people to their sites.
Yeah.
One of the things that I think I discussed a little bit the last time we were talking about recipes is, you know, how are they going to respond to this if they don't get any kind of kickback? And now I'm thinking about Google here, because when we were talking about Google, they were apparently working with what do you call them? The writers, recipe dealers, I don't know.
Recipe dealers.
Who, the words, it does not come to me right now, but anyway, who create these, and they said, all right, so we got an arrangement with you. We don't know what that arrangement is. We assume they're giving them some money to test these AI overviews that include actually the full recipe. I didn't think they really did, but it truly is the full recipe. It's nuts. I really didn't think they'd be able to fit all that, but they do. But the people that won't, I really have suspicions that Google's not going to arrange this with everyone. And there's a good chance that what's happened on Bing will happen to others and their content will just be, well, stolen. So what will these people have to do? And I would think that they're going to hide pretty key points of the recipe in either different parts of the page that make it more difficult for Google to, or for the search engine to grab, or in content that can't be indexed. I don't know but they're going to have to figure something out to make it so that you have to go to their website. And that's going to be a good, yet another, see, all this stuff creates business. Someone's going to have to create this and make money off it. But yeah, there's just no way this is going to be good for anyone if these search engines can just take advantage of people. So yeah, let's hope it'd be interesting to see what happens.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so Google Business Profiles have removed the health insurance accepted statement from profiles. Now, this is according to Joey Hawkins via X. It appears that Google is removing health insurance fields from Google Business Profiles. If you were a health-related organization, or you are, Previously, you could list what insurance you accepted within your business profile. Perhaps you can still list them, but they aren't appearing now, or they've completely removed the option to add it. I think that's unfortunate. I really don't understand why they would do that, because that is very important. And it saves huge amounts of wasteful phone calls. My gosh, for dentists, we work with dentists in my other company, firstdentist.com. And the amount of, like, we have dentists who don't accept any kind of insurance and prefer to, or don't accept, not insurance, it's not the insurance. They accept the insurance. They don't accept what's, I guess, Obamacare or public care. I don't know much about it being in Canada here, but certain types of care they don't accept. And they were able to specify this, and we thought that was a real win.
Yep.
It just saves people phone calls. And when we get leads to the client, they're not getting what amounts to garbage leads.
You're just pre-qualifying.
Yeah. Exactly. Why the heck would they remove this? It just makes no sense.
It made no sense to me. And then I started wondering if maybe there's some legal reason the insurance companies don't want them to be able to be listed or something. I don't know. That's the only thing I could think of that might possibly be why. If a certain insurance company doesn't want their name thrown out randomly, like I don't know why they would want that, but yeah, if that's what they want, they could make it happen. So,
Yeah, it's kind of like in the old days when we people used to say, well, if you want to use Amex at our establishment, you have to pay an extra 5%. Well, Amex shut that down pretty quickly.
Yeah.
And now it's back and now it's legal. But back then they shut it down quickly because it was making them look bad. Well, I guess this could make health insurance companies look bad too. I don't know. Interesting. It's a puzzle move, but it is.
The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel, because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets. Guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Happening. And so if you find yourself getting a lot more garbage calls, and I apologize to saying it garbage, but it really is for companies who don't want this, this kind of lead, then this is why. And hopefully things will change back. Okay, let's take a quick break. And we jump back, we're going to go into AI news and then some interesting tips from Martin Split and John Mueller.
SEO 101 will be back right after recess.
Welcome back to SEO 101 on WMR.fm, hosted by myself, Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, and my company senior SEO, Scott Vanak. All right, so what's next year? Search GPT gives brands 4 times more referrals versus Perplexity and Claude. You put this in here and let us know what's going on here.
Yeah, so despite being in a limited beta, according to Bright Edge, Search GPT is sending 4 times more referrals to brands than their competition. It's been growing at a rate of about 150% month over month. Perplexity and Claude, and I've got to admit, I haven't used either of them. I'm sure Ross probably has.
Yeah, and not Claude, but Perplexity is amazing. They're saying it's a potential Google competitor. It's so well done, and it is very, very good.
Yeah, and they're only growing at a rate of 22%. So there's got to be a bit of marketing that's caused for that if Perplexity is growing much slower than Search GPT. As we reported, I think it was even last week, OpenAI does plan to roll out Search GPT before the end of this year, because right now it's just a limited beta. So it's growing fast as a beta. What's that going to look like at the end of the year when they go live? How's it really going to compete? I don't know. I guess we're going to find out, but it's on fire right now.
Everything is going so dang fast. It's stunning. All right. Google AI overviews are not linking to sites hit by the helpful content update. I think this is really interesting. Not so much just the fact that this was discovered, but the fact that it's a great way to test what could be wrong with a particular client who's had a drop in rankings. So Lily Ray noted in X that it appears these Google AI overviews that may talk about your business won't show a link to your site if you were hit by the helpful content update. She said, if you search for, quote, who is, then you put the website in, unquote, AI overview results will not include a link to the site if it was hit by the HCE or helpful content update. This has been confirmed by Glenn Gabe. So it looks like something that we can look at and use as a bit of a test when we're considering what's up with a new client or what's up with your site if you find that things have plummeted.
One thing I found interesting is that Glenn Gabe noted that a client who had been hit by the helpful content update, but then recovered in August. So now things are good. They still weren't cited in the AI overviews after being basically reinstated in August. So it's like, are you permanently banned from AI overviews if an update doesn't like you? Was it coincidence? I don't know. I don't know how many examples he has of this, but he's seen some examples of it. So it's crazy.
The other thing that is really odd is that this still appears to be true, even if the affected site is ranking in the number one spot organically. What the?
It's weird. It's really weird.
I guess different parts of the engine not speaking to different parts because they're completely separated. And yeah, I imagine they have to keep AI and all this stuff separated because it's all experimental at this stage. Anyway. All right, so Martin Split, we've had him on the show before, great guy. He's sharing three SEO tips for multilingual sites. What is tip one?
Yeah, so tip one is website structure. You know, there are three main ways to structure your website for international searches or audiences. You've got your top-level domains, .fr, .de, .ca for us Canadians up here. You can implement subdomains, so canada.example.com. Or you could utilize subdirectories like example.com/Canada. These are the most common, and he quoted the most common and recommended ways to deal with international sites is to either use top level domains or use subdomains or subdirectories. He did list a bunch of pros and cons for each, which is amazing. There's a huge screenshot at Search Engine Journal because it was all in a video at a Google Search Central.
Are you finished there? I was going to jump into two.
Yeah, I was going to say, just go there for the video. For the screenshot. It's a whole bunch of tips. And if I ramble on, you're all going to get bored. So go there if you care. Tip number two is make sure to use the correct hreflang tag. So use a valid language and country code combination. Sometimes, for example, people will put USA instead of US. That's wrong. So make sure you've got the correct two-digit code. Ensure that your language variations all link to each other. So, you know, you want to make sure every single page on your product that you've got in a different language, they're all linked within one or to one another. I can't talk now either. Fire me. and also include self-referencing links. So each page has to link back to itself in your hreflang tags. He says, make sure the attributes are valid, use valid language code combinations, and then make sure all variations link to each other. Make sure, again, self-referential link so that your German page links to itself and the English and Japanese pages.
I'm not the only one that's slurring today.
I'm gonna need a coffee after. You think it was like tequila lunch today or
I'll do number three here. So
okay, see if you
language selection. Finally, Martin recommends providing links to different language versions rather than automatically redirecting visitors based on assumed preferences. His quote says essentially that, and I 100% agree. It's nice when you go to a place and maybe it might be in Japanese, but then there's a link to Canada and I can switch to Canada. My son's deeply entrenched and interested in Japanese. So sometimes he goes to sites and he wants it to be Japanese. Sure. He doesn't want it to be flipped to Canadian, and you know, why not just have it that way and don't automatically do it. People are smart enough these days generally to make that selection themselves.
I want to put out one personal note out there, a little message to developers out there. If you have, say, an American and a Canadian version of the site, and you are auto redirecting people to the Canadian version, in my case, don't auto direct me to the French version because I don't speak French. And it's more often than not, I don't know why, they assume everybody in Canada speaks French. And yes, it's in a second official language, but the majority, well, I'm guessing here, the majority of us are not bilingual, maybe. I don't know, but I'm not. So don't send me to a French site just because I'm in Canada. Let me pick.
Yeah, I'd say, 8/10 of the country is purely English. So,
yeah.
But probably population-wise, Ontario is, or in this case, Montreal and Quebec and all that area is huge amount of people. So, yeah, anyways. Wow, falling down that rabbit hole. Okay.
Yeah, there we go.
But yeah, I've had that incident recently and I could not get out of it. It was on which page I was going to, I don't know, but I had to delete my cache because it kept assuming I was French. It's like, stop it. Stop it.
I love it when I get French ads as well on YouTube or social media and the ads are all in French. Like, why are you serving me French? What makes you think? Where are they picking that up from when my account is in English? I don't know. Waste of money for them, not me though.
Yep. All right. So John Mueller speaks here about over-reliance on SEO tool metrics. This is really simple. Just a few main points here. He warns against over-relying on third-party SEO metrics. He speaks to a person who came at him with a lot of different metrics that were making him very concerned and, you know, saying, hi, what's happened to my site? This is so scary. One of the things he said drives me nuts. He said, well, you know, these things can't take into account your disavow file and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, wait a second. They just don't stick to one story. Not long ago, they said that disavow file is not doing anything anymore. It's really just going into a little sandbox. So don't worry about it. Now he's talking about how that has an impact. It's just so tiring at times. Hopefully he just forgot to mention that. I don't know. He says the third-party tools can't access Google data, like exactly that, disavow files. And he also said that it's not rocket science. SEO success requires consistent effort through great content, not quick fixes. And he's accounting quick fixes. I'm certain he's piling in just quick AI content. And that's 100% accurate. You want to have content that has got your expertise placed in it. Even if it's just in the prompt that you've created to make sure that it does consider these elements as well as the other information it's sourcing online from its own database. Anyways, it is a consistent effort. It's not easy. And that's why sites that make that effort do succeed most of the time. Not all the time, unfortunately, but most of the time. And you know, it's 100% true that SEO metrics have to be all taken with a grain of salt. We've said before, it's happened recently where we've been taken too seriously about our own metrics, being that we've said on the show where we have to generalize. And that's really what SEO metrics are. They're just hints. And an SEO we just know that. We don't talk about it because it's just the way things are. We know that these tools do not index the entire web. They have not. They've got a small portion of it. There's no way they could. They're not Google. So they're only getting a taste of all these different places. They don't know where all the backlinks are. They don't know all the changes that could have happened. They're estimating all this based on some very smart algorithms, but still it's not Google. And that's why we exist. We've come to know Google really well. We're not faultless, but we've certainly got a much better grasp of Google's pulse because we look at this data all of the time and we see the data from SEMrush and we know how to take it with a grain of salt and just how much salt. It's really hard to describe, but that's not the worst. At least it gives you some concept of how we're thinking.
I get emails from clients fairly regularly where they see a statistic or a figure or some kind of data from one of these tools and they don't like it. They're like, why is this, whatever it is, whatever the example is, or maybe they don't like how Yoast isn't giving them a green dot for a page or something. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. they come at me like, why is it like this? Or why is this broken? Like, well, then I have to explain, well, it's not broken. This tool is actually incorrect in this instance because, you know, whatever the situation is. And you really have to look carefully. You can't look at the data and assume it to be perfect. Even if it is perfect, it might not be what you need to do. I can't think of a great example because there's so many different ways that this can play out. But, you know, that's where you need to be trained, really, and know what you're looking at and how to read what this data is trying to tell you.
It actually brings up an interesting spot. I had a call with a prospect yesterday. It was a really great call, and actually a listener of the SEO 101. And he'd been using a company for many years, or at least a couple of years now, for SEO. And I reviewed a bit of their work, and it was actually pretty decent. But what it came around to when I kind of had to sum up my thoughts on it was good, but it wasn't great. It was as though they were a junior SEO. They had done a lot of the main stuff, but they were missing a lot of the technical aspects of SEO. And that's where, you know, we're going to come in and fulfill everything and make sure it's done right to this next level. And that's sort of what these tools do. They help you get to a certain point. And when you get to that point, if you've done it right, not many people don't, but if you do get to the point that you've done okay, you're going to plateau generally, unless you're really going to invest the time to be an SEO. And that's where it's best to hire someone to take you to the next level. We have different ways people have done that. We've got some that have asked us just to advise them on a monthly basis, just go over their data with them. We have one actually that's really interesting now. It's almost a new market where they don't mind doing the work and they're using some really great tools. Some of these tools we're talking about, I think in this case, they're using SEMrush, but they just don't know how to tell what content is or what of the suggestions. And a significant amount of them, there's a lot of them from SEMrush, are worth prioritizing and where they should be in that priority list. So we're helping them do that. And we're going to give them more insight in how to do that. And that's great. We love to be that person that can help with that. And there's no reason you have to in those situations, if you want to do it yourself, hire an SEO company full time. You can just have us as consultants just to help guide you through that process. It's one of the coolest parts of our business, I think, just knowing that we can really make a difference at all levels, almost all levels of a business's growth. And I kind of get pumped when we get into that sort of stuff. It's fun working with smaller businesses and medium businesses as they grow. Some of them have grown up with us. We've had clients that have been with us 20 yep. years, and that's just so cool. I think it's an honor, really. And a lot of fun. Well, with that said, thank you for joining us today. On behalf of myself, Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, and my company's senior SEO, Scott Van Ack, thank you for joining us today. I'm repeating myself. That is just how the day is. Remember, we have a show notes newsletter you can sign up for at SEO101radio.com. Please do. We've got lots of great content on there. And some of these links that we're providing, obviously, we can't just read off in our show, so they're going to be quite helpful for you to click on. Have a great week, and remember to tune into future episodes, which air every week on WMR.fm.
Thank you for listening, everybody.
Percent of business leaders say AI is a top priority. But with AI tools popping up everywhere, how do you separate the helpful from the hype? The right choice is crucial, which is why teams at one-third of Fortune 500 companies use Grammarly. With over 15 years of experience building responsible, secure AI, Grammarly isn't just another AI communication assistant. It's how companies like yours increase productivity while keeping data protected and private. designed to fit the needs of business. Grammarly is backed by a user-first privacy policy and industry-leading security credentials. This means you won't have to worry about the safety of your company information. Grammarly also emphasizes responsible AI, so your company can avoid harmful bias. See why 70,000 teams and 30 million people trust Grammarly at grammarly.com/enterprise. That's grammarly.com/enterprise. Grammarly, enterprise ready AI.
The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.